Thank you so much for dropping in for another My Tunes podcast.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
This week, unfortunately, my MyTunes guest and I are separated by fibre optic cable and technology because she's in Wiltshire and I'm here in Douglas. But that's not going to stop us having fun. Please welcome, known to many of you across the Isle of Man, Becky Lawrence, and welcome to MyTunes.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Well, it's lovely. We can see each other due to the magnificent technical wizardry that's going on here, and everyone can hear you. So, Becky, we'll talk about your tremendous involvement with country music and all things that are happening now. And when I say now, I mean right now, because today something very special has happened with your music. We'll talk about that in a moment. But let's go back to you on the Isle of Man. Came over as a little girl. I think you said three when we were chatting earlier.
About three, yeah.
And grew up here.
I did, yeah. And it was just some of the best years of my life.
What were you doing? Where were you at school?
I started off in Williston Primary School.
Yeah.
And then I went to Cronkerberry when that was built. So that's where I spent, yeah, the majority of my primary school life. Then I went to St. Ninian's, got off St. Ninian's High School.
I was going to say, for you and music, did you find it an encouraging place for a youngster?
100%. I mean, I was really lucky that, you know, my parents recognised at quite a young age that I was possibly a little bit outgoing. I liked singing and dancing. So I was kind of thrown into the whole dancing scene from quite a young age. I actually did ballroom and Latin dancing. That's where I started my sort of career, as it were. And then, yeah, I progressed into doing ballet, tap and jazz, and then went into the drama side of it, then the singing. So, yeah, from a very young age, I was always quite busy.
And you knew, didn't you, that this wasn't just a phase, this was something you had to pursue?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, my whole entire family, I think, will vouch for that. You know, it was, you know, oh, what's Becky doing this weekend? Oh, she's got rehearsals. Oh, she's got this, she's got that. So yeah, it was something I didn't go into it lightly. It was something I knew that potentially, you know, no matter where I was or what I'd be doing, singing and music would always be, it's always going to be there. Definitely.
Was there a breakthrough moment here when you thought, actually, I'm really rather good at this?
For me, it was getting the role of Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. You know, I think I'd spent, from the age of 15, I was involved in what I would say the bigger shows, you know, with the Manx Operatic Society and the Douglas Corps Reunion. And I'd always been, I'd nearly get the part, or I'd be the understudy, or, you know, I was just getting to that level. So for me to get the role of Dorothy was a huge moment, because it was that time where I was like, yes, this is my time now. This is my time to shine and get that lead role. And oh, it was just, yeah, it was amazing. It was a humbling experience.
I don't think there's any bigger song for a young woman to sing on stage in a musical than Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Did it give you goosebumps getting ready for that?
Even thinking about it now, yeah. Yeah, it did. It was one of those moments where I was really blessed and excited to be able to sing it, but also I wanted to do it justice, because, you know, no one can sing it like Judy Garland. And I just hoped I'd done, you know, a good enough job. And the feedback I got was just incredible. So hopefully I did what I set out to do.
So that definitely was a turning point. What about the beyond that? Because there was plenty more to happen here, wasn't there?
Yeah, off the back of Wizard of Oz, I then auditioned for Miss Saigon. And it was one of those shows that I'd been aware of, and I'd listened to some of the signature songs throughout Miss Saigon, but I wasn't sort of really, didn't really know much about the story and that sort of thing. And a couple of people were saying to me, oh, are you gonna audition for it? I said, yeah, I'll probably audition for, you know, one of the minor roles or whatever. But it was kind of my singing teacher and a lot of my friends encouraging me, saying, oh, I think you should go for Kim. I really think you should go for, you know, the lead role. And I said, okay, well, let's do this. If I'm going to do it, let's just go for it. So I did. I auditioned for Kim off the back of Dorothy. And yeah, I was blessed to be given that role as well. So again, that was just another moment for me of I'm definitely on the right path here. And then, yeah, it just kind of snowballed from there. I did Evita, which was my last show on the island, and then moved to London, the big lights of London.
We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Let's take your first choice of music. What's it going to be, Becky?
So my first song is I'm a Survivor by Reba McEntire. Yeah, I just love this song.
Great song, great artist. There's a clue as to where we're going to explore later in the week. Very country, a brilliant artist. Here she is, Reba McEntire, I'm a Survivor.
I was born 3 months too early. The doctor gave me 30 days. But I must have had my mama's will and God's amazing grace. I guess I'll keep on living, even if this love's to die for. Cause your bags are packed and I ain't crying. You're walking out and I'm not trying to change your mind. Cause I was born to be the baby girl without a chance, a victim of circumstance. The one who ought to give up, but she's just too hard-headed. A single mom who works two jobs, who loves behind the crown. When the deck is stacked against me, I just play a different game. My roots are planted in the past, and though my life is changing fast, who I am is who I wanna be. The baby girl without a chance, a victim of circumstance, the one who ought to give up, but she's just too
today on My Tunes, in our chat with Becky Lawrence, we got as far as Evita on the Isle of Man, and then there were some big lights flashing around Leicester Square and Piccadilly Circus saying, come to London Town. And you did, Becky. That was it. You were off. What did you go and do then?
That was it. Yeah. So I'd always been toying around with the idea of going off to drama school and really making a go and, you know, pursuing that side of things. So I was extremely grateful to land a place at the London School of Musical Theatre, which is in South London towards sort of Elephant Castle area. And yeah, I set off and did a year at that school, and it was incredible. It was tough, very, very tough, but one of the most rewarding experiences of my life.
Definitely. This whole scene, the musical theatre scene, there must be so many people going for top parts.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
hard. Very hard, you know. And I think, you know, throughout my whole training, they didn't beat around the bush. They did tell us, you know, there are this many, you know, there's this many jobs compared to this many actors. Like there's more actors than there are jobs. But, you know, if you're a lot of it's the right place at the right time, you fit a certain category, a certain look, a certain sound. So they do prep you really, really well for the sort of lifestyle that you are going to end up, you know, going into. And it isn't for everyone. And it is very, very difficult. And, you know, unfortunately for me, it just, it was very hard. Mentally, very, very difficult.
Was it something that you, I'm going to say not shied away from, but something you thought, actually, this isn't for me?
It was a very difficult decision for me, because when you've given your life and, you know, you thought everything, your hopes and dreams, that was everything that I thought was going to happen, you know, at the age of 15, that's what I wanted to do. So for it not to quite work out the way you thought it was going to was very hard. You know, I thought I'd let myself down, I'd let everyone around me down. And yeah, I didn't go into walking away from it lightly, but for my own personal mental health, I had to. So I feel now, I feel like it was the right decision to do that. I did it, you know, for me, for myself. And, you know, never say never. I'm always, you know, on the lookout for other opportunities local to me. I did my first show here like a couple of years ago. So, you know, slowly but surely, I'm starting to figure out, you know, where the next shows are going to be. But yeah, from a professional point of view and for it trying to earn a living from it, I just didn't like the pressure of that. And I lost the passion for it, you know, when it was just something I enjoyed and, you know, didn't have to worry about, you know, where my next meal was going to come from. I had more enjoyment out of it. So that's kind of the route that I had to take, really. So
yeah, one of the things that came along, I'm going to find out when this happened, the door opened for you and country music. And
yes.
Was this a love affair of country music that, I mean, we touched on it yesterday with Reba McEntire, but was it something that was always there, or did it grow and grow?
So for me, I've been really lucky that I've been brought up listening to an eclectic taste of music, you know, even from my grandparents. My granddad was very musical and he would listen to things like Dire Straits and Jethro Tull, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, my dad was very more into the heavier rock stuff. And with my mum, it was very different, you know, a lot of the 80s sort of bands like Roxette and, you know, Kate Bush and people like that. But she did also listen to people like Dolly Parton and Shania Twain. So that's, you know, from my sort of later childhood years, so from about 7 to 10, that's when I started to pick up on listening to Shania Twain and Dolly Parton. I was like, I quite like this. I really like it. But it wasn't until sort of as I got a bit older, so by 16, 17, 18, that's when I started to get introduced to people like Reba McEntire and Miranda Lambert and all of those sorts of sounds. And I was like, I love this. Really love this genre. So
let's have this. This is straight into today's track. Let's have it.
I can't not pick a Dolly Parton track, and it's gonna have to be one of the big ones. So yeah, this is 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton.
I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind. You're just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in, and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5. Yeah.
All this week, my guest on My Tunes is Becky Lawrence, who a lot of you will have seen growing up here on the Isle of Man, on stage, somewhere over the rainbow. We're talking Wizard of Oz, we're talking Evita, went to London and really and truly became a devotee of country music. And that's a style that I think you have absolutely excelled at. Becky Lawrence, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
It really is a growing genre in the UK. Now, whether it's down to people like the Shires and all sorts of other artists, because it's always been so American, but there's a huge wave of British country music right now, and you're part of it.
Yeah, it's been incredible to see over the past, you know, the past couple of years. And I think, like you say, it is the people like the Shires, Ward Thomas. They've definitely brought that sort of Nashville sound to the UK. But I think what a lot of us UK artists are trying to do is we want to keep, you know, the respect that it comes from Nashville, that country music is, you know, that's where its roots are from. But we're trying to put our own spin on it. You know, a lot of us don't try and put on an accent or put on sounds. We just try and keep the roots the same, but we put our own spin on things, basically. And, you know, hopefully that's, you know, that's what I try and do with my tracks anyway, is to keep that core depth and you know, the roots of it, but just put my own little spin on it.
Well, you certainly do that. Let's talk about the new exciting release. It's a cover of I Need You. Just tell us about, because we played it earlier. Tell me how you got into this track.
I've been working with Stu actually over the past year or so as his vocal coach, because I do some vocal coaching here in the UK. So Stu's been, he's more of a session, he used to be a session guitarist, and he has worked with people like Tim McGraw and Faith Hill and some quite big names. And he was at a point where he wanted to kind of step away from the background and come into the forefront and do some of his own stuff and be an artist in his own right. And, you know, he actually reached out to me and saw that I was a vocal coach. And I said, yeah, let's work together. So we've been working together. And I said to him one day, I said, look, Stu, I said, I feel like we should work on something together. I said, look, your voice is in a much better place than it was a couple of years, like a year or so ago. We both singer songwriters. Why didn't we write something or do a cover of something? So he actually came to me with the track, I Need You. And it wasn't a track that I was fully aware of actually at this time. And I listened to it and, well, me, I love ballads. I absolutely adore ballads. So I was straight on this. Yes, let's do it. And obviously it is a love song and Stu's my buddy, you know, he's my mate. So I was like, well, how can we interpret this in our own way? And we tried to do it in a way of, you know, COVID and the pandemic has affected a lot of people. And we haven't been able to see our families as much as often or our friends. So, you know, we've tried to, you know, approach the song in that sort of perspective. You know, I need you. I need these people in my life, whether it be a spouse, a partner, a family or a friend. And I'm just really excited for it to come out. I'm really excited.
Well, we're great. So it's excited. Great to have you on this week when it's released. However, it is not leading us easily into your third choice of music. I'm looking at it here, I'm thinking, okay, I'm just going to say, what has drawn you to this, Becky?
So obviously the last couple of days I've primarily been talking about musical theatre and country, but yeah, I've been brought up listening to an eclectic mix of music throughout my life. And my dad was more into the sort of the heavier sort of side of music. So I love rock music, you know, even we're talking Saxon, Alice Cooper, AC/DC, Black Sabbath, you name it. And a band that I really just have fond memories of listening to in the car with my dad is the Scorpions. And I just love their tracks. I love their music. But this one song in particular, I don't know why, but I just, the melody of it, the lyrics, it just really reminds me of my dad. And even I say to him, like, as soon as I hear this song, I just think of my dad. So yeah, that's why I've picked this song.
Scorpions, Wind Change.
Follow the Moscow down to Gonk. keep on listening to the wind of change. August summer night, soldiers passing by, listening to the wind of change. We could be so close, like brothers. The future's in the air, can feel it everywhere. I'm blowing with the wind of change.
Becky Lawrence is my guest on this week's My Tunes. Becky grew up and performed her little heart out in the Gaiety and all across the Isle of Man for many years. And then we lost her to the bright lights of London. And now we're talking her in Wiltshire and me here in the great metropolis of Douglas, Isle of Man. Becky, all seriousness for a moment, you've had a pretty dreadful year by all accounts.
Yes, it hasn't been the best. I thought last year was going to be the worst one, but nope, 2021 just topped that for me.
And you've been wrestling with grief and you've been, it's been tough.
Yeah. It's been a tough one. And, you know, I have had to take a backseat on a lot of things. I've had to really look after my mental well-being, which, you know, we all have to do from time to time. You know, I think stuff does creep up on you and you do have to just assess everything, take a step back. And that's basically what I've done this year.
Now, I want to talk about the mindful-based stress reduction course, because you mentioned it to me earlier and I've just been reading a bit about it. Can you talk me through that?
I can, yes. So I'd been toying with the idea of doing a mindfulness sort of course for the past number of years, actually. And mindfulness came to me a couple of years ago through a lot of sort of therapy and cognitive based therapy and stuff like that. They deal with a lot of mindfulness. So I had the opportunity to do an 8-week mindfulness based reduction course. Try and say that in one go. And yeah, it actually helped me with a lot of the grief and a lot of stuff that I'd actually been trying to deal with this year. So yeah, it's 8 weeks and there's lots of places that do it online. I mean, they try and do it obviously face to face, but you know, with the pandemic and stuff, it hasn't been possible. But I got a lot out of it and it's definitely helped me with my headspace and deal with grief as well. But yeah, I highly recommend if anyone is struggling with stress, with anxiety, to have a look into doing the 8-week course because it's really beneficial. It's definitely improved my mental well-being anyway.
I'm so glad to hear that. I think a lot of us were totally unprepared for, first of all, lockdown, but then the length of time that this has all been going on for, you know.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the huge thing was not being able to see my family because the majority of my family is still on the island. So to not see my mum, especially, and my dad, you know, for 18 months,
yeah,
that was hard going. Yeah. That was hard going.
Certainly. The new single, I Need You, is glorious. We're going to play it lots on this programme and elsewhere on Matrivia because we can.
Thank you.
I just made that decision, by the way. I just sort of thought I'd
tell you. Love it, yes.
I just thought I'd tell you that. I have no power in these situations. I just will anyway. But what's the future now? Are we going to get you out live? Is it going to be... What are the plans?
So I had a lot of gigs that were postponed even this year due to COVID. So a lot of those will be happening next year. And yeah, just slowly and surely getting back on my feet music career wise. And, you know, I've been writing. I've got a couple of tracks that I might be looking to potentially release. And yeah, just slowly but surely get back into the swing of things and just see what happens.
That's what we want to hear. Becky, thank you so much. Final track of the week then. What have we got?
This was so difficult because there's just so many songs. But yeah, I had to pick this song because as soon as it was released, I could not stop listening to it. I think I listened to it about 10 times as soon as it was released. And I'm a huge fan of this artist, not because he's married to my favorite actress of all time, but because he in his own right is fantastic. So yeah, this is a little bit of Keith Urban for you with We Were.
Brilliant track. Lovely fella. Becky, you've been wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us on MyTunes.
Thank you for having me.
We were just a couple years short of the edge by my name on a fake ID. And still about 100 away from the day your daddy said you could run with me. A couple of line steppers just couldn't wait to step over the line. Never thinking we wouldn't last. I was your first and you were mine. And we were leather jackets hanging on to a holly, two heartbeats in the moonlight. We were both feet hanging out over the edge of a water tower skyline. At least there's a little bit of sweet in the bitter, though a part of me is always gonna miss her. When we were We were gonna make There's a little bit of sweet in the bitter, though part of me is always gonna miss her. I am who I am, I just miss who I was when we two heartbeats in the moonlight. Both feet hanging out over the edge of the water tower skyline. At least there's a little bit of sweet in the bitter, though part of me is always gonna miss her. I am who I am, I just miss who I was when we were. Ship sail, you gotta let go of her. Just wasn't meant to be, but somewhere down deep I still believe that we were.
Great to have that track from Keith Urban right here on manxradio.com, chosen for us by my MyTunes guest Becky Lawrence. Becky, thank you for dropping in on MyTunes. Here's to the new single. Here's to everything you're doing this year and next. And we hope to get you back onto the Isle of Man before too long. I'm Mark Tiley. Keep coming back to manxradio.com for more podcasts. They're popping up all the time.